Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on our Old Testament reading from Joshua 24. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you serve us through your word, and we pray that you would do that again today, that you would bless us with the gift of your Holy Spirit and inspire us and encourage us to be people who go out into this world to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remember as a child going to the home of some of our family friends who had a sign above their doorway, and it was a wooden sign, and it was engraved with the words of Joshua 24, verse 15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I liked it. I didn't know what it meant at the time, but I liked it. I thought, that's a beautiful sign. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, I wonder if Christian service is sometimes like that. We like it, or we like the idea of it, or it's got a nice ring to it, or something about it seems right, but we don't always know exactly what it is, or how we do it, where we start, how it looks, to whom we should do it, and in what way. Christian service, I think, is a good idea for many of us, but we're not always that clear on exactly what that idea is. Means. So that's our focus for today, for our service, for our sermon, is that we are called to serve and what that service looks like. Our reading from Joshua helps us flesh out who we serve, who we don't serve, and how we can serve. Who we serve, who we don't serve, and how we can serve will be our focus for today. So the start of the text, Joshua gathers the people of Israel at Shechem. Now, Shechem's an important place because it's right in the middle of the promised land. So this is in the heart of the land that God had promised to his people, where they're now living. And Joshua gathers the leaders, the judges, the chief people of Israel. It's kind of like a representative council of Israel that he's gathered there to speak to. And it's an important moment because this is Joshua's last ever speech to them. This is like his last will and testament to the people of Israel. He actually dies in the very next chapter of the book. So this is an important moment. This is the people of Israel. This is their great leader, Joshua. This is the last time he will address them. And this is what he says. "Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." Fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. This word in the Old Testament, especially to serve, is very closely related, or can actually mean often to worship. To worship the Lord in all faithfulness. So there's this very close connection between serving God and worshiping God. Joshua is saying, fear the Lord, respect the Lord, revere the Lord, and follow the Lord, trust the Lord, walk in his ways, serve him, and worship him. We have the same connection. We talk about worship services, right? What we're doing here is a worship service. It's serving God in some sense. It's worshiping God in another. These two things are so closely connected. You know, if you look on the front of our bulletins, we call this time the divine service. When it's got the details for worship, it says divine service. What that means is that we come here, God serves us with his gifts, and we in return serve him and are prepared to serve him in our daily lives. Divine service. So it starts here and it flows into every day. Now, what Joshua wants the people to see first and foremost is that the God they come to serve is the God who has already served them. All right? The God he's calling them to choose and to follow is the God who has already chosen them and invited them to come and follow him. So it's God who calls us here, who invites us here, who draws us here. It's God who baptizes us here. It's God who feeds us here with his word. God who encourages us to live for him, live lives of service. It's God who feeds us with his body and blood in communion. It's God who blesses us at the end of the service. And then God who sends us out into the world to serve him in those places too. So it begins with him. Our prayers, our praises, everything we be, we bring to God in this place is the beginning of our service. So it starts here, but then it flows outside of here as well. So when Joshua wants the people to start serving God more or encouraging them to serve him more faithfully, he begins by recounting all the things God has done for them. And we didn't hear it in the reading, it's kind of in the verses before and in the middle, but he goes through the different things God has done for them. And it says, I, God, called your father Abraham from beyond the Euphrates, and I gave him Isaac and Jacob and Esau, and I sent Moses to the children of Israel, and I afflicted the Egyptians, and I set you free, and I led you into the wilderness, and I brought you to this land, and I gave you this land on which you're now living. And it recounts the history of Israel, God's goodness to the people of Israel. And it's as though Joshua is saying to them, this is your foundation for service. This is where it starts. Not by what you can do for God, but by what he has already done for you. This is where Christian service begins. God reminds them, as he needs to remind all of us on a regular basis, that everything we are, everything we have, everything we're about, every opportunity that comes up is a gift from him. So Christian service doesn't even begin with us, it begins with him and how he has blessed us. Israel was not in the first place being challenged to choose God so much as they were being reminded to recognize the God who had already chosen them. The God who already loved them. The God who already cared about them. The God who already had a path of life set out for them. They were called to recognize him. And once they recognized him, they would have no choice but to serve him. So that's the God we serve. What about the gods we don't? Joshua goes on, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Sounds like a leadership ballot, doesn't it? All right, we've heard enough of that this week. Choose for yourselves who you will serve. All right, Turnbull, Dutton, Bishop, Morrison. Okay, we'll go with Morrison. Choose for yourselves who you will serve. What Joshua wants the people to see is the futility of serving anyone other than the true God. And maybe in a sense, our own, you know, politics this week has taught us the same thing. The futility of serving anyone, anything other than the true God. The God who is always there. The God who never leaves us. The truly wise king. The truly good government of our Lord. Joshua is trying to remind the people of a similar thing. Choose this day who you will serve. And he lays out the options to them. You know, the gods your ancestors served back beyond the Euphrates, the gods the Amorites serve here in this place. Choose, you know, old gods, new gods, gods made of statue, you know, statue gods, brass gods, stone gods. Choose, you know, the gods of politics, the gods of power or of progress or of prosperity. You know, take your pick. Which one will you serve? The gods of, the god of sport, right? A lot of Aussies worship the god of sport on any given Sunday. That's a god. Choose this day, Joshua says, which one you are going to serve. Will it be the god of yourself? You know, a lot of people serve that god as well. Joshua says, choose which God you are going to follow. Choose which God you are going to serve. Will you serve the God of work? The God of being successful? You know, the God of being well thought of? Choose which God you are going to serve. Joshua kind of lays this challenge out to the people. What he wants them to do is to realize the inherent danger of serving anyone and anything that is not the true God. In other words, making anything the highest priority in their life, the most important thing in their life, that is not the highest one and the most important one to serve. There's a parallel here in John 6, and we've been reading through John 6, if you've been around, we've been reading through John 6 in our services for the last 4 weeks, and this is the Bread of Life chapter of John's Gospel, and so you get at the start the feeding of the 5,000, the big crowd, and then you get Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. And then you get Jesus saying, the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And then you come to today and Jesus says, unless you eat this flesh and drink this blood, you have no life in you. And this huge crowd that's been following him and building and growing and fascinated by him starts leaving, dwindling, right? There's less and less people as you go on through John 6. There's less and less people, and they actually say, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept this teaching? And they start turning back, and they stop following him like they once did. And Jesus turns to the 12, and it's a really kind of heart-wrenching moment in the gospel. Jesus turns to the 12 and says, you're not also going to leave, are you? You're not also going to leave. And Peter responds to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. It's a beautiful moment in the gospel, right? And what Peter is saying is, Lord, there is no other God. There is no one else we can turn to. There is nowhere else we can go that can give us what you can give us. No one has the words of eternal life except you. No one has the meaning of life except you. There is no one to follow except you. It's a beautiful confession of faith that Peter makes. And Joshua does something really similar in our Old Testament reading today when he says to the people, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have found that there is no one else to serve. Maybe in practice there is, but in reality there is no other God. There is no one to turn to. There is nowhere else to go except you, O Lord. And so Joshua kind of lays it on the line for himself and his family. He says, this is where we're at. This is who we're going to serve. This is what we're going to follow. It's as though he's saying to the people, you guys suit yourselves, all right? But we're going to follow the Lord. And that's enough to kind of jolt the people out of their complacency. And they're a bit shocked by how he's talking to them. And so they kind of wake up to themselves and they say, far be it from us to not follow the Lord. We don't want to be the ones letting the team down, okay? Far be it from us to kind of go away and follow these other gods. We will also serve the Lord. And that's where the text finishes. This is what they say. Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Because he is our God. He is your God too, right? And you can say with the children of Israel, he is our God and he is a good God. And we choose to serve him because he has first chosen to serve us. And so we follow him and we trust him and we revere him and respect him and we worship him and we give our lives to learning how to serve him and what that means. How can we do it? This is number three. Practically, right? In our lives, how do we serve him? How do we go about it? Where do we start? Once we leave this place, right, this divine service, this divine act of God coming to us and feeding us and serving us and then us being ready to serve him, what does service look like? What does it look like on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? And you know how the week goes, right? What does it look like after you leave this place? I just want to highlight two areas. The first one is your vocation, right, your vocations, because you have many of them. In your family, you know, are you a husband or a wife or a child or a sibling or a grandparent? What are you? That's the first place God has called you to serve, and he's put people around you to serve. In your workplace, right? In your daily life, where has God placed you, positioned you? That's not insignificant. That's your first port of call. That's your first area of service. As a student, that's a vocation. Right? God has placed you somewhere and he's put a group of people around you and that's where he has called you into his service. Sometimes we look always at what we don't have and we think, you know, where should I be going to serve God? And we forget that God has already placed us somewhere. And there's people around us in those places and therefore there's opportunities to serve him right there. That's the first one, vocation. The second one, which I guess is kind of more our focus for today, is our service here, our service at St. Mark's, and through here into the community. How do we serve in this place? These little surveys that you have, and they are little, they're not going to take a long time, so don't worry too much about them. They're designed to help you reflect on how God has gifted you, how God has blessed you, and therefore what opportunities exist for you to serve him. And I think this is the case whether we're young or old, or you know, whether we've been serving the church our whole lives or just starting out on that path. This is simply a way to help us reflect on how God has blessed us and therefore how we can serve him. It's not about filling positions in the church primarily, okay? It might help with that, but that's not the main purpose. There are other ways to do that, like blackmail, things like that. Right? But there are other ways that we can encourage people in that way. But the question is more for you, you know, how has God blessed me? Do I think about this much? And how might he be calling me to serve him in other areas? So that's what that's about. You know already lots of the opportunities that exist here. I mean, some of you know them a lot better than I do. But in my first year here, I've started to have my eyes open to how many opportunities there are. And it is serving on committees, partly. It is being on rosters, partly. But there's also other things, right? There's leading groups, study groups, fellowship groups, small groups. There's children's ministry. There's Sunday school and play group and mainly music and Kids Hope mentoring. And there's stuff that happens up at our school and down at Hungry No More and over at Hillview for the disabled. There's opportunities everywhere, right? It's endless, the opportunities to serve. The question is simply, how do we, using the gifts God has given us, how do we join in those areas of service that are already going on? And that's what the survey is supposed to help with. Someone once said, there need be no such thing as an unemployed Christian. Right? There's no such thing as an out-of-work servant of God, because there's always gifts that he's given you, and there's always opportunities to serve around you. The survey classifies four areas. It talks about serving with our hands, our heads, our hearts, and our feet. That's just a way to see the opportunities that are there. And then it gives you yes, no, maybe. You know, this is something I think I'm good at, or I'd like to try. This is not. All right. And so you fill it out in that way. Fill it out prayerfully, right? Thoughtfully. Think not just about what you think you're good at, but what you know other people encourage you and say, you know, you're good at that. That's a strength of yours. Sometimes Lutherans are too humble when they do these things, right? They don't want to suggest that they have any gifts. Be prayerful. Think about how other people have encouraged you to serve as well. As we do these things, as we think about how we serve God, we always need to come back to that first point, you know, who it is that we're serving. And we're serving the one who has first served us. We're serving the one who has first given us the gifts. We're serving, you know, the chef who's created the food, and we're just the ones carrying it out. That's our role, but it's a special role, and it's an important role. Jesus says, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. This is the God who serves you, who blesses you, who washes your feet. This is the God who comes to you through his word and his baptism and his communion meal, the God who blesses you, the God who has words to speak to you. Some of those words are hard, right? Like the gospel reading, the crowd found those words hard. Some of them aren't hard. That's what they are. Some of them are very soft and they're very gentle and they're very comforting. We need to hear those words as well. Some of them are very encouraging and very inspiring, and he wants to feed us and serve us with those words as well. And ultimately, he wants all of us to hear those words of the King, well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful in a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Those are the words you can look forward to hearing down the track after you do the survey. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you serve us with your gifts, with your word, with communion, with your blessing, and that you send us out into this world to be your servants. Lord, that is a privilege. That is a wonderful thing that you call us to. Lord, inspire us. Help us to know how best to do that, how most effectively to do that. Encourage us, uplift us when we are downcast. Comfort us and encourage us with your words to us. Well done, good and faithful servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.